call the April 8th Plan Commission meeting to order. Mr. Eddy, please call the roll.
Mayor Olson?
Here.
Commissioner Hogan?
Here.
Commissioner Burkhardt?
Here.
Commissioner Haley?
Here.
Engineer Morrow?
Here.
Alderman Dandrea?
Here.
Commissioner Leon?
Here.
We have a quorum. Please rise and join the Pledge of Allegiance. Your hats, gentlemen. Pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Pledge allegiance. We move to item B, approval of the regular meeting minutes of March 18th. Any additions or corrections? Moved by Hogan, seconded by Leon. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay. First item on the agenda is Oakwood Industrial. Let's do the short ones first, which is agenda item. Item C2, Lumpia City Frozen Lumpia Manufacturing and Wholesale Sales Business. This is a special use application, and there is a public hearing scheduled for this. Mr. Planning Manager, please read the public hearing notice.
Notice is hereby given that the Plan Commission of the City of Franklin will conduct a public hearing on Thursday, April 8, 2021 at 7 o'clock p.m. or as soon thereafter as the matter may be heard in the Common Council Chambers at the Franklin City Hall, 9229 West Loomis Road, Franklin, Wisconsin, 53132, to hear public comment regarding an application by Samantha J. Klimaszewski and Alexa L. Reyes, doing business as Lumpia City, for a special use under Standard Industrial Classification Title Number 2053. Frozen bakery products accept bread to operate a frozen lumpia manufacturing and wholesale sales business, and for parking an 18-foot enclosed food sales trailer or food truck for off-site use for special events, with hours of operation from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday through Friday and occasional weekends, in Suite C lower of the multi-tenant building located at 10700 West Venture Drive, property zone M1, Limited Industrial District, tax key number 705-8989-011. This public hearing is being held pursuant to the requirements and standards of sections 15-3.0701, general standards for special uses, 15-3.0703, detailed standards for special uses in non-residential districts, and 15-9.0103, applications for special use permit of the City of Franklin Unified Development Ordinance. A copy of the proposed special use resolution in draft form is available and open for inspection by the public in the office of the city clerk at Franklin City Hall, 9229 West Loomis Road, Franklin, Wisconsin, 53132, during normal business hours. Public is invited to attend the public comment hearing and to provide input.
The net of this is a small bakery in an industrial use, and we need a special use permit because of our infamous SIC codes. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And sir, I take it since you're wandering up here, let me open a public hearing on this matter. The rules are, give us your name and address and then let us know.
Ken Brunig, I'm the property owner for 10700 West Venture Drive, and Samantha is here with me also. And lumpias are a Filipino egg roll. This is not, there is no on-site sales. This is production kitchen.
Have you had them?
Excuse me?
Have you had the lumpia?
Actually, I have not.
Oh, Ken. Samantha, we'll have to fix that.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead, Ken. I'm sorry.
So it's a production kitchen. There is no exterior alterations. There would be their trailer that they take off-site for events would be there some of the time, not all the time. There would not be sales out of the trailer on-site. We're not asking for that.
Okay, thanks, Ken. Mm-hmm. Anyone else wishing to speak on this matter? Anyone else? Seeing no one rise, I'll close the public hearing. Questions from the commission? Push your button, Mark. Alderman Dandrea.
I did notice that there was a question
that I'm not sure if it was answered, but if the trailer is going to be located at the site, where is it going to be stored? Or is there capabilities of it being stored inside?
Mr. Brunen.
There is no room to store it inside on the map. There's a yellow highlighted spot in the parking lot where it would be parked next to the trees, where the trees would give it some cover. And the trailer is a little bit high because of the exhaust on the top of it.
And that's pretty much, that view is obstructed from Highway 100 then?
Yes.
Oh.
Go back one.
Yeah, there's fencing. They would see it from the daycare.
Yes.
But there's a couple of trees there, and then the daycare also has fencing, so you wouldn't see it from, you could see it from the whole Chevrolet parking lot.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Anyone else? Is there a motion to recommend approval of resolution imposing conditions or restrictions for the approval of the special use for a frozen lumpia manufacturing and wholesale sales business use and for parking an 18-foot truck trailer upon the property located at 10700 West Venture Drive, Suite C, Lower.
Second.
Moved by Leon, seconded by D'Andrea. All those in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay, you're good. Patty, push your button, please. And Patrick, push your button, please. Thank you. Okay, motion carries. Let's go back to the regular order of business, which will be more paper. Oakwood Industrial proposed buildings 1 and 2 at the site. This is a natural resources special exception and a special use and a site plan public hearing. Mr. Planning Manager.
Are we on P1?
P1. C1, yes.
Thank you.
Do you want me to reread the notice, even though we actually noticed it on March 4th? Okay. Notice is hereby given that the Planning Commission of the City of Franklin will conduct a public hearing on.
Which one did we already?
We already opened both the net, the special exception and special use. So. Okay.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this public hearing for the special use and for the net.
No.
For the net resource.
Mm-hmm. We did them both.
The first one is the NRS.
It was just announced. We've already opened these public hearings. Okay, so we're going to do these one at a time. We already opened the public hearing at a prior meeting for the natural resource feature special exception. With that, I will ask anyone here wishing to speak on the matter. Mr. Lake.
Good evening, Mayor. My name is Mark Lake, 2420 Coachhouse Drive, Brookfield, Wisconsin. I represent Wongard Partners, a developer of two parcels on the new Hickory Street, just south of Oakwood Road. We are requesting natural resources special exemption and special use to allow us to build two industrial buildings, one now, hopefully this summer, and another one couple years from now when the ATC power lines are being relocated. We were informed by staff and by sewer pack that there was a farmer's ditch, drainage ditch that kind of got out of hand and wasn't taken care of by the farmer over the years, and it turned into a nice wetland. And as a result, it's being regulated by the city, which we have no fault with. What we're trying to do is maximize our development potential in the parcel and then also protect as much of the wetland as practical. It is designated as a low quality wetland. We're waiting for our general permit to allow us to grade up to 10,000 square feet of the wetland And we are, the only thing that we're waiting on is the DNR to get out and inspect the site, because the growing season technically hasn't started yet, according to the DNR. So hopefully that'll be this week or next week that they'll get back out and renew this, or look at the site. But it's our intention to preserve as much of it as possible. Specifically, the northern extent of the wetland that goes from that pond, off-site pond, through our property and then into the county's property, at the area around the existing pond, correct, right there, and then the finger to the south, everything but about 10,000 square feet of the wetland will be protected with the buffer and setbacks. If there's any questions, thank you.
Mr. Lake, don't sit down yet, because local ordinance requires on a natural resource special exception that all testimony given in a public hearing for a natural resource special exception be sworn. So, Mr. City Attorney. Microphone on. Push your button.
Oh, I do so smart. Did.
Okay, there you go.
You promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, sir.
And? Everything you've said up to now was true?
Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, thanks, Mr. Lee. Anyone else wishing to speak on the natural resources special exception? Seeing no one rise, I will close the public hearing on this matter. Without objection, we'll go to a motion. This is yeah, I got to get the right motion here. Is there a motion to recommend approval of the WP Property Acquisitions LLC Natural Resource Feature Special Exception pursuant to the standards, findings, and decisions recommended by the Plan Commission and Common Council consideration of the Environmental Commission recommendations?
So moved.
Second.
Leon and Burkhart. All those in favor of this motion signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Commissioner Haley?
Aye.
Thank you. Any noes? Motion carries. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 ayes, no noes, no absent, no abstentions. 7.
No,
no. 6 ayes. 6 ayes. Okay, with that, we'll move back to the public hearing on special use. This evening, Commissioner Haley is on the phone. Unless he says votes in the negative, we'll count his vote as an affirmative, so we can keep moving. Mr. City Planning Manager.
It's continued.
It's continued.
Oh, it's continued, okay. The public hearing for this matter is open. So is there any public comment on the special use application for this particular project? Anyone wishing to speak on this matter?
My name is Mike Fralick, Kapoor & Associates, 7711 North Port Washington Road, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53217. The main reason we submitted the special use is with both the proposed buildings being warehouse / manufacturing buildings, there will be overnight parking. And per the city's ordinance, you're required to apply for a special use for any vehicles or trailers being parked at the facility overnight.
Great, thank you. Questions from the staff? Anyone else wishing to speak? Anyone else from the public wishing to speak? Seeing no one from the public rise, we'll close the special exception public hearing. Commissioners, Commissioner Morrow, the city engineer.
Understood that no traffic would be going up and down Oakwood Road to the west. I get a lot of phone calls on that, and I think that's all understood, and that's nothing part of this, but if it is a concern, we would definitely call you.
Actually, I'm going to direct you to come on an ordinance prohibiting traffic west from there.
At the moment, their first building is probably going to be open before Hickory Street gets built.
Okay.
We're going to do west of the property.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. West of the property. Any other questions, commissioners? Is there a motion to recommend approval? Commissioner Haley, sorry.
No, thank you.
Oh, okay.
I'd just like to verify that, in fact, somebody has reached out to Milwaukee County Parks, you know, they're the adjacent property owner on the west edge, that, you know, they're aware of potential grading activities and things like that. Years back, the detention pond that was there was located in such a location so it could accommodate what's being done with this development, but I would just ask that we be sure to contact Parks, if not already, and make sure they're aware of what's happening along their property line.
They have been, Commissioner Haley, but Mr. City Engineer has some more information.
Yeah, I was just going to say that staff has already had that conversation regarding the pond and potentially some relocation of the ATC power lines. And so they're very aware of the project, and we're further discussions, possibly some future endeavors.
Anyone else?
Very good. Thank you for that.
Thank you, Commissioner Haley. Is there a motion to recommend approval of a resolution imposing conditions and restrictions for the approval of a special use for overnight parking for vehicles exceeding 8,000 pounds of manufactured gross vehicle weight as part of the development of two industrial buildings totaling approximately 500,000 square feet in area and potentially, we hope, 600,000 square feet in area upon a property located at 3617 West Oakwood Road?
So moved.
Second.
Hogan and Leone. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Six ayes, no noes, no absent, no abstentions. Special use. Move on to the site plan. Okay. Mr. Eddie, why don't you walk us through this one?
Well, the site plan resolution sort of depends on approval of the waiver, so you probably want to do the waivers first in order. We can do them one at a time because we need to have those motions recorded. And that's not it.
That's the wrong one.
She had that problem the other night too. It goes very rapidly. Just start right there. This is the landscape plan for the project, as shown on the overhead. One thing I will note is that there are a couple of plants that are recommended to be changed out because the city forester noted that they're either caution species or they're outright invasive. So they're going to be. We recommended that be changed out on the approval resolution. Site plan resolution number 15. If you want to skip one, two, there you go. Here's the elevation. These are the elevations showing the facility facing Hickory Street, the top two. It's just easier to show it this way than to try and show you the whole thing all at once. And then the one on the bottom is the facade facing north, up against Oakwood Road. The next elevation shows the back and south sides. So the bottom image on the one on the bottom is facing the wetland to the south and the stormwater pond. And the top two are the ones facing toward the county parkland property. The next image, which is the last one.
Me one second. Mr. Eddie's 6 feet from anybody around. The intelligibility through his mask is a little suspect, so I'm going to, and city has no mask mandate except for employees, so I'm going to waive that requirement and ask Mr. Eddie to remove his mask.
Okay. This image, these are images provided by the applicant's architect showing the renderings of the property. The one on the top is the northeast corner of the property at the intersection of Oakwood at Hickory or soon to be Hickory Street. The one on the bottom is the southeast corner of the building. You'll notice that they have red accents at the corners and at two spots in between along the facade. The building entrances are actually underneath underneath canopies. There are three primary entrances along the front facing Hickory Street. They came a distance our direction. You'll also notice that the precast materials essentially rise up over the entrance areas and then go back down in between them so that they sort of identify where the entrances are in addition to the sidewalks and the landscape improvements that are shown on the plan. They are providing in staff's opinion, sufficient requirement to deal with those things. The only thing that we suggest is that some of the materials, in keeping with our past practice, which is to say our practice with the HSA application in October, is that at least half of the materials need to be something other than precast. Because precast is listed in the ordinance as a secondary facade material, and they need to have something that's not secondary. At least half of it needs to be a primary material. But that's in keeping with the previous practice with HSA. Yeah, we did that.
Really?
Yeah.
All we did was require them to put, use a different form.
That was on the resolution that was adopted. The adopted resolution said that. So I maintain that going forward.
Okay, let's talk about that.
Otherwise, staff is recommending basically approval of these conditions. The only, we provided some caveats to those things, and those are included in the resolution conditions, starting with number five, and then proceeding down from the resolution. Oh, by the way, you all have a revised version of this. The number on the previous on the prior resolution for the site plan had an incorrect square footage number. They are requesting approval of this building at 235,000 square feet of floor area, not 200,000 as was on the previous resolution. So they increased the size of this building from their previous original design.
We should work through these one at a time.
Okay.
So the first one for the exceptions, we got exceptions both to the UDO and to the 27th Street Overlay District standards. I'm trying to think of the easiest way to do this.
Yeah, consistent with the last time, we went through the PDD 39 standards, and we went back through and did the overlay.
All right, well, the first one is the required standards on 15-3.0444B.D.1.A.4 pertaining to parking. What is that exception calling for?
That basically requires that parking doesn't provide it in the front yard, in front of the building, between the building and facade and the street. And based on the way, on the type of design of the building and what they do, putting the parking in the rear would be a bad idea. It would just result in all sorts of conflicts, and it would be cleaner just to have the parking in front. So staff supports that waiver.
Questions from the commission? Is there a motion to waive the required standards under 15-3.0444B.D.1.A.4 pertaining to parking?
So moved.
Second.
Leon and Mr. Burkhart. This requires five affirmatives. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Six ayes, no noes, no absent, no abstentions. Mr. City, planning manager.
Okay, the second waiver is concerning the loading and unloading areas. Should be located to the side yard or rear yard and screen so as to minimize their view from adjacent streets. The request is simply to screen the rear property line being waived. They already have screening along there, and doing more than that adjacent to a passive park was felt to be unnecessary. Staff recommends approval of this waiver.
Questions from the commission regarding this particular item? Is there a motion to waive the required standards under 15-3.0444B.D.1.A.5 and 6 pertaining to parking?
So moved.
Second.
Dandry and Leon, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Six ayes, no noes, no absence, no abstentions. Open spaces. Mr. City Planning Manager.
Okay, this one requires not less than one half of the required building setback from any dedicated street devoted solely to lawns, trees, shrubs, and landscaping. And if you permit parking in the front yard setback, then by its very nature, you can't have half of it also be landscaped and green and not paved. So staff supports this recommendation with the idea that we also note the intent to provide a multi-use trail on Aspen Way, which is further south, and so they're providing a linkage to that, as well as bicycle parking amenities on the site. So we're recommending to locate those to require bicycle parking amenities adjacent or proximate to the building entrances at the rate of approximately one bicycle parking space for every 10 auto parking spaces.
There are some drawings out. Questions from the commission? All right, seeing nobody asking questions, a motion, is there a motion to waive the required standards on 15-3.0444B.2, I'm sorry, B.D.2.A.I pertaining to open spaces?
So moved.
Second.
Leon and Dandria. All those in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries, 6 ayes, no noes, no abstentions. Item D is pertaining to character and design.
Yes, this is pertaining to exterior materials. Utilize true to form, stone below wood rather than the opposite. Appropriate for external use, brick, stone, tile, custom architectural masonry units, preferred primary materials. Precast concrete, which is cast stone, is an acceptable secondary material. That is the material that they're using as their primary material. The typical recommendation is to require something a little bit higher than just precast stone. As I mentioned, that was part of the HSA resolution to require the lower half of the public facade to be something higher quality than non-precast. But if you want to reverse that or change that, that's fine. That's up to you. But our recommendation, insofar as we have it, is to recommend approval of waiver with that modification.
Questions from the commission? I will give you some background on that. Not this particular requirement, but the idea behind it was to have the buildings have a better look and quality other than flat panels. That was the purpose in that old effort in 2005. Mr. City Engineer.
So I'm trying to remember the HSA discussion. Wasn't it like more of a wainscot kind of look where it's like 3 foot up? I mean, it wasn't a lot, but it was something really pretty minor, but just something to visually separate that. So,
yeah, I believe that was part of the discussion at that meeting. Yeah.
Was it that much? How high did it come off the ground? It was like, I thought like 3 or 4 feet at the most. No?
It was more than that, but it,
okay.
It was somewhere about, I think somewhere around 2/3 of the way up the door side.
Okay.
Level of the door. What was that?
Was it actually a different material or just a different look in the panel?
Marion worked on that one.
You're going to remember something I didn't.
Right. So staff's recommendation with that application was at least 50% of the facade be a higher quality material, such as a stone or similar. And the final approval from had 30% of the facade, which it was essentially up to the roof line of the canopies over the doors. And you did hold that standard. So.
Yeah, I think what we're hung up on right now is it a different material or is it a different treatment of the precast? My understanding and thought behind that was it was a different treatment of the precast. For example, you see a lot of the sidewalls, retaining walls along roadways, where those are poured in place, essentially precast, but they look like stone. It's still precast, but it looks nice. That was my understanding of the HSA agreement. Now, if staff thinks it differently, we got a different issue.
Well, I'm sorry. I mean, I don't have a problem with that. I don't. if you want it to look like it's not precast stone and just has a different finish to it, that's perfectly fine.
Yeah, again, the goal was to not have just flat buildings.
Right.
To make them look. Without objection, the applicant. No objections. Come on and have a seat.
Matt Mano, 215 North Water Street, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I'm the architect for the project, and so here to answer questions. I think a couple things just to add to what Heath had mentioned is we provided an initial layout, got some of the comments back. So we have made adjustments to the building design. We've pushed and pulled the elevations quite a bit to give to try and help break the building up. Adjusted the paint color so it wasn't so industrial feeling. Added more glass to the building than we had before. And then added the canopies at the front. So we've tried to break the building up. And I'd say one of the things, as a firm, we do a lot of these types of buildings. And the requirement of a different treatment on the base is something we don't see in the industry. So, and a building of this size, the costs start escalating up pretty high. So we're just looking for, what is typical for buildings that are done in the business park that's 2 miles north of here, stuff that's done in Oak Creek, stuff that's done in Northern Racine. So we're just trying to, keep up with what everybody else is doing. So that's what we're asking for, the waiver, and adjusting our paint colors accordingly to try and help break the size of the building up. So,
Mr. Lake, you didn't prep him because he compares us to Oak Creek. We won't do that. Again, let me just refresh what the intent is. First of all, this we intended this area, and we still do, to be the next level up from our current business park. So we want to drive the architecture up a little bit. But frankly, you heard the conversation we just had. We're not looking to get into anybody's pocket. We just want to have a different look. And specifically, it'll be about car height, something other than the base panel being flat. Is that the wishes of the commission?
Sure.
Seeing no response, that's the wishes of the commission.
Yeah, you're really just talking just a different treatment of the precast is all you're talking about.
Yeah, and I think what we'll do is we'll have... If the motion gets made, I'll encourage it to put this to the staff to determine that and work with you. Again, we're not looking to get into your pockets. We're just looking for a better look. Something a lot better than Oak Creek buildings.
Yeah, I meant that not more of a proximity to the freeway. I mean, as you know, these buildings are all driven by proximity to on-ramps, off-ramps.
Hey, Mark,
and I know you guys are spending a lot of money.
Sit down.
27th Street, so.
Because he used a couple of words we don't want to hear. Anyway, okay, so as long as we understand that we're looking for a different a treatment on a wainscot, whatever, 6 feet tall, a different treatment. Mr. Lake.
Yeah, if we could work with staff, that would be best for sure. And Heath, if you could, I noticed that the I reviewed the HSA plans, and it said 25% of the base, 25%, the lower 25%. So if that's the number, then we'll work with staff on treating the lower 25% some other way, if possible, to make it to step up the building.
Okay.
That'd be fine.
We can adjust the resolution to reflect the lower 25% to be an alternative non-precast materials or...
Four.
Yeah. Condition number 8.
Yeah, the public facing.
Yeah. Just the part facing the street.
Oakwood and Hickory, yeah.
Yep.
Correct.
Yep.
That's the north side.
A little lower, 25%.
Yeah.
Now, to be clear, the resolution specifies just facing Hickory and Oakwood Road. So
that's right.
Nothing on this very south exposure. Does it make sense to stop for the southern exposure?
There'll be landscaping and all this stuff on the corner. I mean, it's...
I understand the west side, but... All right, let's not worry about that. Just as long as the commission's aware. Nothing on the south exposure. Okay. Which one is this? Is this E or D? This is D, right? You don't have it this way.
Hang on. Yeah.
This is two and three, standards 2 and 3?
Yes.
There are motion to waive required standards under 15-30444B.D.4.A.2 and three pertaining to building character and design, with the understanding that it is the lower 25% of the building that we want a better treatment, and authorize staff to make the decision.
So moved.
Second.
Leon and Hogan. Any other questions? Staff, you got it?
Yeah.
All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries.
The condition still says not precast. In the resolution.
Do you want to amend that just to say higher quality materials and just leave out the non-precast?
Any objection from the plan commission from condition 8, removing the words non-precast materials from condition 8 and adding the word 25% in lieu of half? No. I see no objections to that. Okay. Right. Thanks for requesting clarification, Mr. City Attorney. That's why we pay you the big dollar. Okay.
Right.
Next item, Mr. Planning Manager.
Okay. This standard relates to outside loading docks located side or rear yard, screened from view, sited by extended building walls, berms, decorative fencing, landscaping. Applicants requesting requirements to screen rear property line be waived, and similar to the other one above. And with the reminder that the staff supports this with a reminder that the dumpster pad shall comply with section 15-3.0803i, which relates to fencing or other type of material around to enclose the dumpster location.
Commissioner? Okay. Is there a motion to waive the required standards under 15-3.044b?
Nine?
I don't remember my high school Roman numerals. Fraternity building characters and designs.
So moved.
Second.
Leon and Burkhardt. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. It was 11, not 9.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Catholic school stuff. I forgot it all. Let's do it again. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. 6 ayes, no noes, no absence, no abstentions. Now we've got a list of waivers on the 27th Street designs. For those who are watching and or will watch, these standards were established in 2005. And obviously the world has changed since then. So this is not a blanket reduction in the desires of the community. It just reflects the current state of the economy and the state of the business and business demands for this kind of development. So, Mr. Planning Man.
This waiver is similar to the first waiver under the PDD 39 design standards. It's no more 50% of the off-street parking space is located in the front between the front facade and the public street. So if you waive the other one, this one should be waived, and staff supports the waiver.
Is there a motion to waive the required standards under 15-3.0352A pertaining to parking?
So moved.
Second.
Hogan and Leon. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. 6 ayes, no noes, no absence, no abstentions. Next item is landscaping requirement.
This one relates to development, contains a building over 50,000 square feet, shall provide a central area of features such as patio seating area, pedestrian plazas, and so on. It's a design intended for more of a commercial shopping center rather than an industrial building. Staff supports this waiver request with the stipulation the applicant needs to provide some kind of benches or other materials near the doorways.
And again, in 2005, we had the vision of a corporate campus on a couple of these parcels. This would have been the center feature of a corporate campus. Obviously, that's not what this project is. So, is there a motion to waive the waive the required standards under 15-3.0353F pertaining to landscaping?
So moved.
Second.
Dandrea and Leon. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. 6 ayes, no noes, no absence, no abstentions. Building design, Mr. Eddy.
This criteria relates to the ability of the building to be varied in terms of heights and massing and all kinds of stuff that typically isn't normally associated with a warehouse industrial building. Staff is believe this request is ultimately supportable because they have provided at least variable heights of different types of material colors, and a canopy overhead along with the building entrances have been accented. So staff supports this waiver request.
Question? Is your motion to waive the required standards under 15-3.0355C5 pertaining to building design?
So second.
Burkhart and Leone, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Six ayes, no noes, no absence, and no abstentions. Waiver pertaining to building entrances, Mr. City Planning Manager.
The standard right now lists the public.
Excuse me 1 second. Commissioner?
I was trying to figure out if we missed one of the waivers on the page. It seems like you skipped over one, but I could be mistaken.
We have two more to go.
Okay. There's a listing on number 6 in the staff report of page 10.
Okay.
But that's the one that references
okay.
the overlay. So
right,
we just we go right to the next one.
All right, thanks for clarifying.
Okay, Mr. Eddy.
Public building entryways are clearly defined highly visible with two or more design features. The applicant has provided at least two types of features that would sort of draw people toward the building entrances. Therefore, staff is recommends approval of the waiver.
Why are we waiving if they're meeting it?
Well,
and I'm okay with that. That's just a rhetorical question that somebody's going to ask me someday.
They are. Typically, you want more than two, and they're sort of getting to two.
Got it.
So you want more than two, and they're at two. So we're recommending support of that.
Is there a motion to waive the required standards under 15-30355C6 pertaining to building entrances?
So moved.
Second.
Leone and Dandry, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Six ayes, no noes, no absence, no abstentions. And
last one,
waiver regarding screening.
Yeah, this relates to things like mechanical equipment, refuse containers, and other things that are screened. We've already done a review of this kind of thing. We recommend approval of this waiver, again, stipulating that the dumpster gets covered as covered in a previous section.
Commissioner Leone.
See a staff suggest down in here? Is that something that suggests we would need to add if we're going to do it, right?
Yeah, it's sort of a recommendation to just provide maybe a couple more trees, just a little bit more screening around the area, but not, and this is not like, there are very specific requirements for screening along the front that they haven't waived, but this is sort of giving them coverage by not requiring a full bore screening, so it's not like an opaque screening along the fence line. It's basically just a couple more trees in certain locations that basically screen from view from the street, and that's about it.
Any objections from the applicant to that, adding that suggestion?
No. Applicant indicated no. And that would be condition 14 in the resolution?
Yes.
Okay. Any other questions? Is there a motion to waive the required standards under 15-3.0355C9 pertaining to screening, provided that the applicant work with city staff on some additional screening to the south?
So moved.
Second.
Leone and Dandria. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. And again, on condition 14, the understanding is they had some more and we're working with staff.
Yep.
That brings us to the end of all of the waivers, but we got to go and do overall motion.
Site plan.
Yeah, 235,000.
I think we already did the special use and NRSC, so it's just site plan.
Okay, so move on to the site plan. Mr. Eddy.
They have a motion to adopt a resolution approving a site plan for construction of 235,000 square foot building and improvements for eventual construction of a second building with associated parking, loading areas, a driveway connection between the two buildings, sidewalks, crosswalks, and a stormwater detention pond at 3617 West Oakwood Road.
So moved.
Second.
That would be Leon and Dandrea.
Commissioner Haley.
Oh, thank you. Sorry to step on you.
Oh, no, we...
I just want to make a comment. Obviously, the site is, you know, we're looking at half of a hopefully a much greater project. In light of the waivers and everything, it looks like we're basically going to be building at some point in the future a mirror image or similar of this building. I would just make the recommendation that when that plan comes back in the site plan, that efforts are made to integrate the detention area, the space between the two buildings, to try to create some unity. And, you know, again, we've waived the requirement for the central gathering space and things, but to try to unify the two architecturally using plantings, maybe outdoor spaces. Not a requirement, but I'd like to see that sort of thing when the second phase comes in so that it appears all integrated and makes sense.
Actually, Commissioner Haley, I'm going to request that staff contact you along with the applicant the next time we have this conversation. The ponds and stormwater management and associated landscaping are continuing discussion. Not that the applicant is objecting to anything. We're just trying to do the best thing for the environment and still maintain financial viability of the site. And depending on what happens with the county, what happens with the road work. So we're going to invite you to be a part of these meetings, Commissioner.
Okay. I'm willing to help as I can.
Excellent. We have a motion on the floor to approve. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. I think that's it, Mark. Thank you. Have a good evening. Thank you, architects. And don't forget, better than Oak Creek. Okay, we move on to item C3, Paul Park Commons Midwest Orthopedic Specialty Hospital Building Indoor Sports Complex with Plan Development District 37. This is a request to increase the maximum signage. Who's here from the applicant?
Good evening, Michael DeLugi, representing SignFX, Bold Construction, and Rock Ventures, 1827 West Glendale Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53209.
This may take a bit, so why don't you have a seat? All right. Okay, who's doing this? Mr. Eddy.
Okay.
There's a public hearing regarding this.
We schedule a notice. Notice is hereby given that the Plan Commission of the City of Franklin will conduct a public hearing on Thursday, April 8, 2021 at 7 p.m. or as soon thereafter as the matter may be heard in the Common Council Chambers of the Franklin City Hall, 9229 West Loomis Road, Franklin, Wisconsin, 53132, to hear public comment regarding an application by Christopher D. Boudet, River Rock Performance Properties, LLC, for approval of an ordinance to amend Section 15-3.0442 of the Unified Development Ordinance Plan Development District Number 37, the Rock Sports Complex / Ballpark Commons, to increase the maximum permitted sign face area of approximately 750 square feet to 12,507 square feet distributed between 38 signs for the indoor sports complex. Tax key number 744-100-5000. This public hearing is being held pursuant to the requirements of Section 62.237D2 of the Wisconsin Statutes and Division 15-9.0200 of the City of Franklin Unified Development Ordinance. Copy of the proposed draft ordinance is available and open for inspection by the public in the office of the City Clerk at Franklin City Hall, 9229 West Loomis Road, Franklin, Wisconsin, 53132, during normal business hours. The public is invited to attend the public hearing to provide input.
Okay, staff, before I open the public hearing, you want to run through the slides?
Yes.
So everybody's got an idea of what we're talking about.
So this is a amendment to the Plan Development District to increase the maximum of amount of sign permitted. So according to the Plan Development District, the maximum amount of sign shall follow the municipal code.
So according to the municipal code, the maximum sign area permitted for this building will be approximately 750 square feet. That is based on a ratio of 1.5 of the building frontage. So the applicant is proposing approximately 12,500 square feet in a total of 38 signs, one monument sign, and the rest will be wall signs. So signs will be located on all four sides of the building. So this is a rendering of the monument sign. This will be the view from Rawson Avenue. We can see the South ID sign and all the openings, logo signs, there are 11, and the four west graphic panels. And to the west, this is residential. This is the west elevation again. This is a view from the parking lot from the north. We'll see the north ID sign and four graphic panels. Okay. And this is the elevation from the east that will be visible from...
Excuse me, but I've lost audio.
Do you hear me, Commissioner Haley?
Do you hear me, Commissioner?
I can hear.
How about Mr. Martinez? Can you hear regular?
Do you hear me?
Did you hear regular just speak?
I can hear. This is Kelly.
Okay. All right.
Dr.
Thanks, Kelly.
I can hear too.
Okay.
As a side note, this is Josh from Sound Effects. We've got Chris Boudet in the participant list. He's just waiting to get approved to enter the meeting. The host.
We'll hold off on a second so we can add him to the. You got two. Mr. Boudet, can you hear us? There you go.
Okay. Okay. This is the east elevation that is visible from south.
Somebody needs to mute on the phones. Somebody was unmuted, and now you're all muted. I'm going to give you a second to get muted, and then I'll turn you back on. But Regulo's going to continue the presentation.
Okay. This is the east elevation that is visible from South Boulevard Drive. So we have the applicant's proposing five graphic panels. Okay. So now to the analysis of the application. So staff is recommending denial of the Plan Development District Amendment for four reasons. The first reason will be traffic safety. So as noted in the staff report, traffic safety is an accepted standard for sign regulations. That's why the municipal code has some maximum sign area based on the building frontage along the road. Attached to the packet, there is a report from the Wisconsin Department of Transportation that has some studies that demonstrate that extra driver distraction, including signs, may cause crashes. So this is particularly important for this location because it's close to the intersection of Rawson Avenue and Boulevard Drive. And I'll also include to the packet the daily traffic. There is about 9,000. So compared to a normal residential street, it's 800. So this is Roslyn Avenue has very high traffic. The second reason for denial is the land use compatibility. So we have the applicant's proposing the four graphic panels on the west elevation here, this area, at least during construction. That will be facing a residential subdivision. Of course, on the other hand, staff acknowledge that this is a landscape buffer between the building and the residential subdivision. That may help, but we are still recommending denial for the land use compatibility.
Regulo, can you forward to that image?
Which one?
The one of the west elevation.
Oh, yes.
That one, yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. So when you're doing this, if you could...
Oh, okay.
Okay,
yes.
Good. Thanks. Continue, Mr.
Okay, the third reason is that the ordinance is approved will not be content neutral. So according to previous case law, an ordinance cannot make a distinction between advertising signs, like the logo signs, and the other non-advertising signs, like the graphic panels. So if this is approved, and if the future, the owner or any other tenant would like to have logos here, it will be allowed, because we cannot regulate the content of the sign. So these graphic panels will be considered as a normal wall sign.
And it could be illuminated at that point.
Well, as proposed, it's not illuminated.
But if this is approved with these panels on it, and at some future date, the then owner decides, I want to put an illuminated sign there, all he needs is a building permit. Is that correct?
Well, that will change from a non-illuminated to an illuminated. That will be different. But they may change the content.
Okay. So if it went to illuminated, they would have to get new approval.
Right. Correct. Correct. Yeah. Okay. And the fourth reason is equal protection. So this proposal is increasing the amount of signage, permitted signage, by about 16 times. So other properties do not enjoy that amount of signage to be permitted. So, and that will create a precedent for other applications like this for an excessive amount of increase of the sign area. So as noted before, staff recommended denial, but if the Plan Commission wishes to recommend approval, staff is suggesting alternative approval that will exclude the signs that I highlighted here. So the east graphic panels, because of the area of the graphic panels, and also because it will be visible from Ballpark Drive. The south openings graphics, because also will be visible from Rawson, and the west graphic panels, because it will be facing a residential area. So the other alternative is to approve the PDD amendment, excluding these signs that are highlighted. So the ordinance as presented in the packet is drafted to match the project as presented by the applicant. So if you decide to move forward with this alternative, there are some changes to the ordinance that are reflected in the staff report.
Okay. This is a public hearing. I will open the public hearing, and anyone wishing to speak, please rise, come forward, and give us your name and address, and tell us what you're going to tell us. Dr. Servinansky, good evening.
My name is Dr. James Servinansky. I live at 8530 West Hawthorne Lane in Franklin. The entire 150 feet of my backyard abuts this building. So that means I'm going to have to look at those four ugly looking pictures all the time in my backyard. I'd like to know how many of you up there would like this abutting your entire backyard. And in the future, you just brought up the possibility of him putting lights up there, too. I don't know what's going to happen in the future, but even this looks ugly. These things are humongous. The only buffer I have between my backyard and this project is a 15-foot dirt berm. That's it. And these run the entire height of that building in the back. The only protection I have is some rows of trees. Thank God I at least put those in a few years ago. When the leaves grow in summer, the trees are tall enough they're going to block probably 3/4 of this anyways from Rawson Avenue. So it's sort of dumb to put this up there to begin with. But I'm very upset about this. I do not want anything abutting the residential area on the west side of that building. Another thing, too, I was at the city hall here this last week to review the draft ordinance. They printed out for me several pages. None of this showed any of this. I didn't see any pictures, sketches, nothing. And I asked them to give me everything that they had on this project, and that's all I got. And that was just about 3 days ago I was in there. So I don't know why I didn't receive more information showing all of this. So I'd like to know, what's all your feeling? Would you want that in your backyard? That's an entire width of my backyard, 150 feet. And there's two other properties east, north, and south of me that'll also get this, because that building runs three properties. And then even the ones on the north end, they're still going to see lights on their side. And people on the other side of Hawthorne Lane are going to see this also between our driveways. So I don't know, would you be happy with this in your backyard? If he wants this on the Rawson Avenue, the east side of the property, which is all the rock to begin with, and the north side, that's fine. But up against the residential area, I don't want this. I'm totally against it, and I hope that you take this into consideration. Thank you.
Okay. Doctor, just before you go, these, today, right now, these signs are not lit. And if they were to be lit, they would have, if this passes, if this is not removed, they would still have to come back to change it to illuminate them. So I just want to be clear about that.
Well, that's one of the reasons I went there. I wanted to know if these were lit, were they non-lit, were they indoor, were they outdoor. I had no idea what it's all about, and nobody gave me any more information other than what's on this paper today.
Sir, I'll look into that. But they are not lit, and they are outside. Anyone else? You're the applicant.
No, actually, I'd like to speak as a resident of Franklin.
Okay.
Would you like me to get up there, or may
you can do it from here, but give us your name and address again.
Michael DeLugi, 7353 South 48th Street, Franklin, Wisconsin.
Can you guys hear Mike? Can you guys hear Michael?
Yep. Okay.
Thanks.
All right. As a Franklin resident, I've been very happy to see all of the development that has gone up through the whole city, but particularly 76 and Rawson as well, and I think that the Plan Commission, the Common Council, Architectural Review Board has done a great job of being very good business partners as well as residential partners to a lot of things. So as presented here, I actually like it. I do understand some of the concerns, particularly on the graphics of the west side, but given that the building is white and large and stark, the whole idea to me as a resident is to put some images up there to kind of break up that starkness of a white pole barn, in essence. So me personally, as a resident, I stand for it.
Okay. Anyone else? Mr. Servanansky.
Chad Servanansky, 8530 West Hawthorne Lane. If these are the images that they want to start with, how often are they going to change the signs down the road? I mean, 3, 4, 6 months down the road, we get sick of looking at these four. Let's change them to something else. And then 6 months later, then they want to change them again and again and again. So what's going to happen when that occurs? Because you know that they're not going to want to keep these forever.
We'll get an answer.
What's that?
Thank you.
And as far as putting something on there, why don't you put something on there that blends in more with the subdivision, like put trees or something on there? Why would you put something like that when you have a subdivision just to the west? I mean, that would be fine if this building was an industrial park or something, but there's a subdivision right there, and it doesn't make sense to have that on the side facing a subdivision. I don't get it. This doesn't make sense to me.
Thank you very much. Anyone else? Seeing no one else rise, I will close this public hearing, and we move on to questions from the commission, and then we do want to get an answer of the lifespan of these particular graphics. Commissioner Leon.
So, thank you, Mayor. I have two questions for staff, and then two for the applicant. I'll start with staff. I'm generally opposed to this and generally in favor of staff's recommendation to deny. With that said, Mr. Martinez, you described Rawson Avenue as high traffic. I've never done a traffic study myself, but that far west on Rawson Avenue, does that still qualify? I mean, basically, once you get over Loomis, is that still considered a high traffic area?
Mr. Martinez.
Well, yes. East of South 76th Street, it has more traffic. It's about 15,000. At that location, it's around 9,000.
And that still qualifies
right,
as high traffic?
For comparison, a normal, regular residential local street will be up around 1,000.
Okay, thank you. And then as I look at these examples, it makes me think of comparable signage, I think at Fiserv in downtown Milwaukee. I'm not 100% sure. It definitely makes me think of signage at Clark Hinkle Field in Green Bay. I've used that example in the past. So when you're describing its impact on traffic and causing more accidents, I think that Rawson Avenue is probably not a great comparison to downtown Milwaukee in terms of traffic and all that. Maybe a little bit better for Oneida Street in Green Bay, but has any research been done either by the city or I guess by the applicant and what the effect is in those areas when they were studying to do it for Moss? Sorry, that was a bit of an ambiguous question, I know, but let's compare it to Fiserv and Hinkle if we can, and what's the impact?
Well, not specifically. What I used was a report prepared by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation. That is, I mean, general other cases in other states, so previous studies, but nothing specifically to Milwaukee.
Okay.
So this is general information.
Yeah, I think anybody's been to Green Bay has seen big signs across the street from Lambeau. They might even be bigger than what's being proposed here. I don't know of any increased traffic there. Candidly, as I imagine it, I would be more concerned about the traffic traveling north on Loomis, looking at these signs as having a bigger impact than specifically on Rawson Avenue. But I've never done the traffic study.
I could answer a little bit of that if you'd like.
I do have a couple of questions for you, but I don't have any objections.
Okay. We belong to the ISA, which is the International Sign Association, and they, along with DOTs from around the country, have done a lot of studies, particularly with electronic message centers. And the reason I bring that is because they have differentiated a difference between electronic message centers that have a moving graphic and static signs. Moving graphics has shown to have a slight increase in traffic violations and traffic accidents, where static signs, meaning non-moving signs, have not shown a necessary impact to driver distraction. So I'm not exactly sure that study, I was not familiar with it prior to this meeting. But we have seen that static signs have not seen an increase in, and I specifically say traffic violations either, turning, leaving, things of that nature, much less an accident.
Turn your mic back on. Okay,
staff, thank you. to address what the applicant just laid out.
Yeah, and I will quote the study. So this is prepared by Wisconsin DOT. So it says that while some studies conclude that extra-vehicular distraction cause crashes, it has proven difficult to identify and measure the role of electronic advertising in driver distraction. So what that's what he said.
Okay. Then to the applicant, the question about the signs facing to the west, to the backyard of the doctor spoke earlier. Again, that area of Rawson Avenue and where your traffic is coming from, how many people would see that sign other than the residents who live over there? How many people come from west of you to go into Ballpark Commons or that you would be getting your advertising space to? It's clearly not favored by your neighbors to the west. What kind of bang for your buck are you really going to get out of signs on that side of the building?
Understood. And predominantly, I don't believe that those graphic panels were necessarily directed towards vehicular traffic on Rawson. There is a access road, as you see right there, that drives along it. And again, because you're driving along the large, white, bare span of that building, the whole depth of it, it was just more for vehicular traffic in there, not necessarily to call attention to traffic on Rawson. And I've had in-depth conversations with Bolt and Rock, and we would be willing to waive this west elevation and the four panels, because you're right, it doesn't add any kind of advertising or anything. It was just because staff in previous meetings had expressed a concern with the white open barrenness of this particular building. So if in lieu of residents' comments and staff's consideration of the west elevation, we would be willing to waive the west.
And I actually have two more questions, if that's okay. You just made me think of one. What type of consultations, what kind of input have you sought out from your neighbors immediately to the west? Like, not just the folks here tonight, but what have you done to address their concerns before tonight?
I personally cannot say that Sign Effects has. I would have to defer to Chris from Bolt to see if any conversations have been had.
And he's on the call, correct?
Yep, Mr. Binet.
Hello, can everyone hear me? This is
yep.
Mr. Binet.
We got you.
Okay, excellent. I'm here representing Bolt, also River Rock Performance Properties, LLC, the owner of the facility. And specifically to address your question, we have not done any sort of surveys or polls that included residents to the west of the facility regarding their desire for something. However, like Michael stated earlier, we are absolutely in favor of eliminating the signs on west elevation of the building if the council feels that that's a benefit to this project. As stated earlier, those signs were in direct response to some comments very early in this project, upwards of a year ago, where the city had made comments that the building, the large area of what building was just too stark, and something in the fullness of time needed to be done to kind of differentiate and break up some of that elevation. So if the city is in favor of some of the residents would like to revise that requirement, we're certainly willing to comply, and really it's probably in the best interest of the community and our neighbors here to eliminate those signs in the west.
Okay, thank you for that. Yeah, I definitely think, given the nature of this whole property, it's best to talk with the neighbors before one of these meetings so that we've got their feedback already. Last thing, and this really goes to your comment as a resident in Franklin, I looked up the distance from the property to your house, your road, 2.9
correct.
Miles. Not that your perspective is not valued, but when I hear from people right across the road that they're objected to it, that's more significant, more impactful to me than that. So so far, from what I've heard, the concerns that staff has addressed, the concerns that your neighbor has addressed, I'm still generally opposed to this, and I would think that there might be an opportunity to relook at it, to find a better option, but right now, I don't think that, I haven't been convinced that I would support it. So that, thank you.
I can appreciate that. As I'm not a resident, like you said, immediately backing the property, but just for a side note, my granddaughter lives in Mission Hills, so I go up Rawson all the way up to Highway 100 to go visit her frequently. So sure. I do pass this area frequently.
Thank you.
Mr. City Engineer.
I like to say ugly is in the eye of the beholder. I actually kind of like the look of those signs, but absolutely not on the west side. I mean, we have done everything possible throughout the whole development of the project to try to screen that. And even the architecture of the building, we had a long discussion how to not make it jump out so much. I mean, how do you hide that big of a building? It was tough. We didn't allow lighting. My preference, I would have liked to see it more muted, kind of greenish looking, but it was white. If you want to get creative and make that nice, do it with landscaping. Have a lot more trees and such that maybe you drive under or through. If you really need signage, maybe some sort of monument signs into the berm looking the other direction might be okay. That might be something I would be willing to consider that, but definitely nothing that would you could see over the berm. We've had a lot of discussions on that berm and trying to make it such with trees and landscaping and the height, and I can't tell you how many discussions, way too many discussions we've had on that. So I think that's absolutely a big no-no. That's just definitely off the table as far as I'm concerned. It doesn't bother me, the north views and the, as you say, the east side, as it's looking for the ballpark drive. I think once you get into the parking lot and the ballpark drive, I think that's, you realize you're in a different kind of district. You're going to have the Golf Lux thing. It's just going to look like I don't want to say a carnival, but it's going to look definitely a much different feature. And I think those signs, like you have on the west side, those would be very appropriate on the north panel and the east side that you have listed there. So that wouldn't bother me. I want to talk about the south openings. When we talked about, the building, the construction, we talked about allowing a big sign on top to, and I forget exactly what the text said, but I do recall a big discussion on, because that's such a big building, having a big name, we were okay with that. I don't recall any discussion about those little panels in there, and I think that at least might be too much. I think that's maybe over the top. I don't mind having a big Midwest Orthopedic Specialty Hospital Performance Center, that kind of thing up there doesn't bother me. I think it's important it would actually look ugly, I think, if you didn't have something up there to kind of tell people what it was. But the other things I think might be over the top. Again, I don't mind those on the east and the north side. I think once you're into the complex and ballpark drive, that's all fair game. People should understand the look and feel of it. They look nice, but not there. I guess that's my concern on that. So those are my comments.
Anyone else? Commissioner Burkhardt.
First thing I have is a question for staff. It was mentioned that if they wanted to illuminate anything here, they would have to come back to the city for approval. Would that approval require a public hearing, or is that something that would be done?
Well, that we need to amend again the PDD.
Okay.
Change that.
So it would be another amendment?
Yeah. But if they want to change the content of the logos, or that would be just permitted with a building permit.
Sure, understood. And then to answer the doctor's question, no, I wouldn't want to look at that in my backyard. To answer that question directly, I also, like Commissioner Leone and the city engineer said, I don't understand putting anything on that west elevation. I don't understand the pictures really at all. Wherever they show up, they don't seem to fit the development to me. The scale, the color, it just doesn't seem to go. Also, the logos across the front, if I recall correctly, originally that was supposed to be windows there, and then it was changed due to the cost. And the idea was that was still going to give the impression of windows, which I think you lose with all the logos. I'm kind of with Commissioner Leone on this. The way that this is set up now, I don't think I can say that I support the way that this looks. Oh, and one last thing. We understand it's a big, stark building, but I think we all talked about it here, about how we were all not in love with that idea, and the time to fix that was probably during development and construction, not after the fact with pictures.
Commissioner Haley?
Great comments by all my fellow commissioners, and I'm inclined. I think the west elevation is excessive. The rest of the stuff makes sense.
Anyone else? Alderman Dan.
Well, I agree with the west side. I'm not quite sure about Mr. Haley's comment in regards to, well, I agree with everything else. I'm not sure if Mr. Haley is agreeing with the logo representation of the businesses that are represented on the south viewpoint. I don't really think the traffic along Rawson is going to cause that much interference with them. We might want to go, hey, let's go every other one and keep contrast and keep an opening in between them. That might be a compromise to knock down, half of those so they can keep a little dimensional change in regards to just running them all together. That's just an idea, an opinion. On the east side, we've got illumination of, how many times are we gonna put Midwest Orthopedic on this building? We've got a monument sign that's near the ground. Do you need the monument sign?
The monument sign and the building sign kind of serve two different purposes. And if you were able to zoom out, the rest of the development off picture here is going to be otherwise tenants, and they would be permitted to have individual tenant signs for them. So the one up top for what we call the North Secondary ID wall sign, that's to identify to Ballpark Drive and everything that's where that particular tenant in the building resides. The monument sign is more of a welcoming right along Ballpark Drive as you come around. So they do serve kind of different purposes. So to that, I would say that because they're both different purposes, even though they're in close proximity to each other visually, it's no different than a lot of other tenants in Franklin that have a monument sign or a ground sign and a tenant sign or an ID sign right behind it on their building.
Both of those are going to be illuminated.
Correct. Both of those, the wall sign is lit channel letters, so only the individual letters light up. And then on the bottom sign, that is also a routed cabinet. So it's not like a big white face that lights up with graphics on it. Only the individual copy will light. So it's going to be a little bit more understated than it might appear here.
Okay. I'm fine then. I'm fine with the east. And I'm fine with the north. Okay. The west, I think it's pretty much a uniform decision that the west be eliminated.
Replaced with landscaping.
Or replaced with landscaping. It creates more foliage and some blockage. We've often talked about that berm and the maintenance of the berm. Okay, it's not been maintained properly, okay? And these are issues that are beside this, but these are things that we will discuss with the property owner, okay? Right. But if we can talk about additional landscaping to create a little bit more buffer and barrier and sound absorption, okay? But thank you.
Commissioner Hogan.
Can you go back to where the monument sign is? Are you stating that every tenant that comes in there will have signage up by the window where they are, or their location
it, it's
is?
Not, it's not proposed to be up high like this one. There was originally in the submittal a package that showed just above the individual windows.
Hang on. It's coming. I'll direct everybody to sheet C-19, which is probably the last one in your packet. The two sheets that we're talking about here are sheet 3 and 19 in the drawing pack. That one?
Yeah, it's...
And keep going. You're going too fast. Okay, keep going. Your other, keep going. Right there. That's it, right there. That's what you would see from the south and from the...
The south and...
North. That's actually...
The one that they showed me in the beginning, that's the east, right?
That's actually not labeled correct.
Zoom in.
Because that would not be the south elevation.
No, that's the east.
That would be the elevation near the entrance.
Correct.
Where the monument sign is located.
Yeah.
Correct. The monument sign would be to the right of the doors on the south, the north elevation.
Mm-hmm.
So right about there.
And the Midwest is up there?
Actually,
Midwest, correct, is up in
right
that area right there.
Right.
This is the east elevation.
Right. That's...
You know, I, now that you've mentioned it, you are correct. That's the east elevation, but we're actually proposing that the tenants be allowed signage on the south elevation along Rawson, not east elevation as to Ballpark Drive.
Okay, I
plus
got
all
it.
That stuff.
If you go back to the site plan, if I could ask that.
I got it. I was talking about
right.
Alex. Sorry. I was wrong.
Yeah, right there. So south tenant, it says there, then it says north tenant, right there.
This is what happens when you get old.
Yeah.
But the tenants would be allowed the standard Franklin allowance of 1.5 square foot by their frontage. And then that would be for just the north, as you saw, only in that sign band area.
Okay.
And then again on the south. In the sign band area.
Okay. Can you bring that one up again?
Sure.
Not that one.
Not that one.
Yeah. I do. If you didn't have the 11 up there, what would be there instead?
That
the
I'm
sign.
Not prepared to answer.
I mean, like we stated, there was...
Mr. Boudet, what's there now? As he turns around.
Turning around to go to the zoning, we have a, I guess you would describe it as a phenolic panel. For anyone not familiar with that, that's more of like a smooth material and not brick. It kind of has the appearance of maybe an aluminum panel you might see on other buildings, but it's simply not aluminum.
Dave, thank you.
So it wouldn't be the dark like it is right now?
What color is it, Chris? Those panels are white? Today? You're muted.
It's a gray panel.
There you go. It's gray?
Correct.
Okay, thanks.
What do you
think? Currently gray.
Gray?
It's
a
gray,
gray. Aluminum panel.
And the west side, I agree with not having that there also. I do not like the signs all on the side of the... I think this just looks too busy. Too busy.
Okay, so I'm hearing a consensus, but for my two cents, regular slide 24, please.
This is 24.
23, I'm sorry. If each tenant, and there's currently five in there, I believe, has their own sign on the window, I understand that there's a perceived difference between the monument sign and all of the signs around the building, but the monument sign has a space for one more tenant, but what about the other four or however many end up in there? That's a hell of a lot of signs. Chris, I tried to call you and talk to you about it, but it's...
I can agree with you, and I tell you what, just from our standard operating procedures for this facility as well as everything else that we have, it would not be customary to allow every single tenant to install a sign there. Obviously, Mosh has been here from the beginning. We consider them an anchor tenant. They have the naming rights to the facility, so they have a sign. There's probably one or two other tenants that we would, at this point, allow to have exterior signage on the building. That's a fitness tenant, which is over 15,000 square feet, so that's roughly a quarter, 25% of the building that they'll be leasing. And there's one other tenant that currently we're discussing some signage with. So this is not going to be 10 tenants with 10 different signs out there. That's simply not the type of building we want to present in the community here.
Yeah, to be frank, I was good with the electrical signs that you show on the drawings. And I didn't get to the last page, and it's shame on me, which is that shows the individual tenants around ringing the building. At that point, it's like, holy mackerel. For my opinion, and that's what it is, the monument sign should be fixed such that the tenants can get signage on the monument sign, but not on the building. And I'm okay with Midwest Orthopedics. It's their building. I'm okay with the one that's up there, but to put all of the rest of the tenants on the side of the building, it's just too much. Similarly, the slide 24, please, Regula. That's way too much. That's you know, it's personal opinion and all that, but that looks crazy. And how many Rock Ventures do you need up there, and how many Milkman logos? And I understand you're trying to break up the building. I get it, but there's got to be a better way, because all that is clutter, in my view.
I did like Mr. Morrow's comment about possibly alternating. That may. I thought I had it mistaken. Maybe every other you wouldn't have a redundancy of the logos necessarily then, and it would still break up and give a dimensional architectural type look. There's 11 panels, so if you allowed six with graphics, it would start with a graphic and end with a graphic, so it wouldn't be unbalanced.
Just continue with that thought. As a significant partner in this development, where's the Franklin Field or City of Franklin logo? You guys chuckle, I'm dead serious. We've gotten nothing. We've got no acknowledgement in this whole development of the investment that the community's made in it. And there's three Rock Ventures and two Milkmen and Snow Park. Where's the at least Franklin Field on there, if this was going to happen? If it gets slimmed down, I'm sorry, Chris, go ahead.
Yeah, Mayor, we're absolutely in agreement. You guys have been a great partner throughout the entire development here. And speaking on behalf of the owner of the facility, we could absolutely figure something out to represent Franklin on the building. Yeah. That wouldn't be a problem at all.
And Mr. Bidet, please don't take what I say personally. I've got to look out for 36,000 here. And I respect the business and your intention to identify the tenants and all that, but we got to find a better way. I think the full frame logos is much too. I think if the commission decides to make some change there, whether it's alternating panels or whatever, the size of those logos, see, all that really is a replacement for a multi-tenant sign, monument sign. That's what that really is. that would be that would belong on the side of the berm on the east side of the office building. So that just replaces what should have been on the east side of the office building as a monument sign.
Yeah, go ahead, sorry.
Well, it's just too much. And the Cervenanskys are absolutely right. Those images don't belong in their backyard. I don't like the big white building. We've been talking about that for, 4 years now? But that's better. The blank building is better than the images on it. So just to sum up, I'm good with the electronics signs. I'm okay with the images on the north side. I'm somewhat okay with the east side images, graphics, but if I had my druthers, I'd say forget the graphics, just do the electronics and limit the tenant signs. That would be my preference. Chris, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, in general, I think there's absolutely a way to a consensus here. And I think we can start by saying that the west elevation graphic panels are completely off the table. It seems to be somewhat unanimous amongst the group here. So we can agree on that. As far as the 11 signs in the south elevation of the field house, I think Michael suggested 6 signs in order to provide a symmetric appearance to the building. We are also comfortable with that. And to further, craft this, the background of those banners, I would absolutely be comfortable with having that background. Right now in the image that's on the screen, this on sheet 24 here, shows a white background. I would actually prefer to have that be a gray background which matches the gray panels there and have the whatever image, whether it's rock or milkmen, Franklin Field, whatever it is, be a color that contrasts with the gray. So at least, we don't have this kind of checkerboard pattern created by having a gray panel of the building and then the adjacent panels being white signage panels. So I'd like a consistent gray background with only the text that stands out in order to provide a more uniform look in that south elevation and really just provide the accent to the logos and wording itself. That would be one suggestion, or a second suggestion. And then the third, obviously lighting is an issue here on the north elevation of the building. Regula, if you could, flip over to that where we see the large Midwest orthopedic sign on the north elevation? So that's just another sign that we are willing to concede on. Obviously, if it were to be installed, it's planned to be lit. That may, just where it's located, could provide a little bit of a nuisance to our neighbors to the west. So in order to make sure they're protected and the value of their property is respected here, we could eliminate that north lighted Midwest orthopedic sign. That's roughly 1,600 square feet of signage that we would eliminate.
Or make it 8,000 square feet or 800 square feet.
Yeah, we'd be comfortable with that as well. But just trying to ensure that we're flexible here and willing to find something that works.
Mr. Boudet, what's your timing on this? When do you need because my thought process is to refer this back to staff for a revised proposal from you guys. That would be my preference.
Well, we've been operational since February. Right now, the Midwest Orthopedic Clinic is in somewhat the final stages of construction. So we're having weekly calls to coordinate their furniture deliveries and final modifications within this week. So the intent has always been to try and have at least the south sign, the large Midwest orthopedic sign, on the building when they occupy the facility in around 6 weeks from now. So if we could, we need some an approval rather quickly to make that happen.
Is there a way?
The rest of the signs? Oh, go ahead.
I'm sorry, Chris. Actually, I apologize. I interrupted you. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, the rest of the signs we can be a little bit more flexible on, but that large sign we'd really like to get going. Obviously, it's very large. It has quite a long lead time of manufacturing and installation, and we'd like to get that installed.
Well, is there a way we can approve the cell sign and refer the others back? City attorney is recommending against that, though.
I don't.
2 weeks kill you? Chris?
I would prefer not, but the way you ask it, I don't know if I have an option.
Well, I'm trying to find a halfway. My attorney says no. And
may I ask kind of an off-the-books question?
Certainly.
It seems that none of the commissioners or anybody involved here has had an objection to this particular sign, correct? To this lit sign on
the
south elevation. That being said, something, the first few weeks of fabrication are materials ordering, getting things into queue, getting things. So, again, not something we like to encourage, but as a manufacturer, we could begin the process of this particular sign, and within 2 weeks, if we have an answer, just as long as we're kind of all clear that this particular sign has not been an issue that would be addressed as removing in a future, and again, off the record, that's something that we could do to make sure that we're accommodating to both Bolt and Mosh from a standpoint of that side.
Well, as long as everybody's clear on the record that the risk on that is totally yours and Bolt's.
Correct. Understood.
All right. So, Chris, I'm going to ask that this get referred back to staff to the next plan commission meeting. And then between you guys and staff, you can take what we've said, come back with a better, a much slimmed down proposal. Does that sound like a plan? Chris, are you nodding up and down?
Yeah, I'm in agreement with coming back. I just want to make sure that in general, when we do, are there any other comments that we need to take into consideration beyond eliminating the west signs, reducing the quantity of signs on the south elevation of the field house, and eliminating the large or reducing the size of the large Mosh sign on the north elevation of the field house? I just want to make sure that when we do come back in front that we don't have additional comments that weren't addressed tonight.
All right, let's go down around the horn again. Commissioner Leone.
Apologies if I'm pointing this to the wrong, but I believe Alderman Dandrea mentioned some landscaping to the west. Would that not be for?
That couldn't be part of this.
Okay.
Yeah, and just so you're aware, it's somewhat, it's a little ambiguous, but when you look at the property line, we only own roughly 3 to 4 feet of dirt. Past the face of our building on the west side of the building. So really when you try to landscape within that 3 to 4 feet, there's very little plantings that we can install in there that really give us, you know, provide a lot of height and coverage to the building that can exist in such a small amount of space. So we own from the face of the building to the back of the church. And then that's the extent of our property.
My wife would tell you plant a lot of clematis and let it climb up the building, but that's a maintenance nightmare. So, Commissioner Leone, what is your dream on this? Can I ask them their opinion? Commissioner Leone, what would you like?
I am in favor of referring it back to staff, let him work through the issues. My only question there was what I heard brought up earlier, if it's not appropriate for them, I'm fine just referring to staff. Sorry, I'm talking around a little bit, but get rid of what's on the west. And change what's to the south with staff to find a better solution for both those. I really didn't have any objections to anything on the north or east.
Mm-hmm. Alderman Dan?
Well, I think to give Chris some direction, I think we're consistent with the west, remove it. The south, I think go with a gray back panel. And then chain, and then go to 6 images, and make sure that the next time we see that picture, that we have something that's going to reference the city of Franklin or Franklin Field. And on the east, make sure. I think we were all consistently uniform with the decision of the east being okay, and the north was okay. You were going to probably downscale the Midwest orthopedic sign and not illuminate it.
Well, that's your opinion.
At least that was conversation that was stated. If you're worried about light pollution, then let's look at it, okay? Let's be consistent, because you're going to be, I don't know, are there ordinances that restrict how long those lights are illuminated, or they're illuminated all night long, staff?
Well, that would be part of the lighting standards. So there is a maximum limit at the property line. So when they provide the photometric, so there's a certain amount of foot candles at the property line. So you cannot project excessive lighting to the adjacent property.
Illuminated signs are typically not regulated in terms of having them lit or not lit at some point during the day.
They're on a dusk to dawn type thing.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I'm fine with it then.
Mr. City Attorney? Oh, wait a minute. Mr. City Attorney.
Just a reminder, this presentation from staff started with one of the legal requirements with regard to signage review and decision making by the government, that it be content neutral. And I've heard a couple of members here specify what content should be in there. So just a reminder.
As he looks at the mirror. Mr. City Engineer.
So obviously Nick's the west. The south, I'm really not crazy about having a lot of, but I definitely like the idea of you can somehow make them look like windows. I think that was obviously the original architectural that we approved, that they were supposed to be windows. So even if they are signs, if they could somehow be made to look like they're, a decal on a window, I think would go a long way to make that look better. In addition, what I said a while ago, I do like the mayor's comment about not letting every tenant have something hanging in their window, tell them who they are. Put on the monument sign or something out front or something around there, but not literally the entire building with a new tenant name every time someone moves in or out.
Could I make a suggestion to that? Because the monument sign is, if you could, the monument sign location actually going up to the site plan. The monument sign is actually inside the ballpark commons. So before we completely eliminate or discuss the elimination of tenant signs, it would be prudent to have identification on the south elevation facing Rawson for the individual tenants, so that, because otherwise people would never even know that they were in there, because the monument sign is not on Rawson.
But if I have a modern investment.
So if Morrow Investments goes in and buys a little, just a one-room office, I don't think I would need something. I just tell people I'm in the MOSH building.
Oh, no. I apologize if it was misunderstood. The only way that the tenants would have identification was if they were like a tenant in any other. If you're a tenant inside of an office space, you would only get monument sign identification. But if you have frontage along a road, like you're a tenant in a strip center, you're allowed 1.5 square foot to identify your business on your frontage facing the street. So if there's a tenant within the MOSH building itself, they would not be allowed that. They would have to have the space. And I'm not trying to speak out of turn, Chris. That is correct, right? That the tenants would be advertising along that area that they would be operating in, correct?
I don't know if that's exactly how I understood it, but we're absolutely willing to be compliant with the existing city ordinances and codes.
I guess I'm willing to see what you had proposed. I just don't want to see a lot of, it's almost going to look like graffiti if you allow everyone to have some sort of lighted sign on the outside.
Now that Chris has mentioned very specific tenants, what we'll do is we'll graphically represent them on the next submittal so you would be able to see what and where they might be placed.
A couple of those are not enough.
And the whole idea is if you have, I don't want to say a chiropractor, a small doctor, where you just one little office, may or may not be there for a long period, I don't even see that on the outside.
Definitely, and I understand and I concur with that.
All right.
Yeah, Glenn, you cannot rent a broom closet and put your name on the side of the building.
Dang. All right.
Commissioner Burkhardt, comments?
I think, like everybody discussed, the West graphic panels are definitely a no across the board. And to be honest, all the graphic panels I'm not a huge fan of, specifically because the content isn't controlled, as was referenced, so anything can end up on that, and there's no free to anybody. But that being said, it's inside the development, so if it's there, it's there. The south graphics, I definitely would like to see changed. It's too busy, and it doesn't really represent, I think, what we originally talked about as the architectural intent of the building.
Mr. Hogan?
I agree with my commissioners. The west side is a no, nothing. I do not like the south side at all. The east side is okay, and that north side. When you say illuminating the lighting, is that going to affect the neighbors? That's what I want to know.
The channel letters on the north elevation facing north, be it that they're individually lit and the color that they are, would not cast any kind of candlelight power in a parking lot directly in front of them, much less off to the side by the residential. So it, being them lit or not lit would not affect it.
Okay.
That I can't tell you.
So you're promising me that these people won't have lighting coming into their homes?
Well, I think Chris has already addressed
Chris,
that we would
can
be
you promise
we would be reducing that, maybe going non-lit or even potentially eliminating it from the submittal. So
Jesse, can he raise his hand and can you? I'm just kidding.
Okay, so, and for my 2 cents, maybe I can wind this all up.
What about Mr. Haley?
I'm sorry, Commissioner Haley, you're not sitting here in front of me. I forgot about you. Comments? Final comments, Commissioner?
How can you forget about me?
Because I don't see you.
In answer to Alderman D'Andrea's earlier question, I've heard great comments from all my fellow commissioners and you, Mayor. You asked the question, what else haven't we considered? I think what you're doing, we understand it. We need to have branding, these things need to be done. Be tasteful about it. We don't need more, a little bit smaller, less. The whole idea is to let the architecture speak for the building and not just have the architecture be a place to hang additional signs. So
nice.
I understand fully, and I think my fellow commissioners do that. We all need to, they need to brand their buildings. Keep it discreet. Let the buildings speak for themselves. That's all I have.
Thank you. So, just to wrap it up and add my...
Mayor, if I may, apologies, but I need to go. I have a 9 o'clock meeting, so I was hoping to get through this, but if we can't, I'll need to excuse myself because I'm going
to
be late.
My intention is to make my comment brief and then refer it to staff so we can get you out of here. Okay, so real quickly, West goes away. I think that was a foregone conclusion before anybody walked in the door. Relative to the south side, I don't have an issue with the illuminated. There's 11 spaces for those, what I call window signs. There's 5 individual major tenants, but there's really 6.
Correct.
So every other one would work.
Yep.
Without talking about what the content is. And I would urge a reduction at least to 25% in that. I'd prefer to see 50, but so that's the south. East side, I don't have a particular issue with the graphics on the east side, but they are kind of big. Relative to the individual signage for tenants, I get Midwest Orthopedics, and I 100% agree with that. The exercise client, I wouldn't have an issue having their own sign. But all the rest of them should go on the monument sign. That's my opinion. Make that monument sign truly a monument sign with the tenants, if you can. What did I miss? And no tenant signage on the south side. It would be my opinion. So with that, is there a motion? And I totally am supportive of a sign for Midwest Orthopedics on the south side, and I think we all agreed on that. So, is there a motion to refer to staff to return with a modified proposal at the next Plan Commission meeting.
So moved.
Second.
Hogan and Leone. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. I think you get it. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. Everyone. Thank you, everyone.
And Commissioner Leone's excused.
Thank you.
Sheila, it's great to see you. Let's have lunch, huh? The last item on the agenda is a motion, a report on the Parkland Acquisition Study. Ms. X.
Thank you, Mayor. Can everyone hear me okay? Everyone on the phone? Okay, so... This item is a report to the commission. It's an update on the status of the Parkland Acquisition Study.
Need to stop the...
Mike? Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Alderman.
And Alderwoman Hanneman was kind enough to join us this evening, as she is, in fact, the lead staff on this item. I wanted to bring this item to the Plan Commission's attention prior to it actually coming before you for official review as an agenda item, because you may not be aware of this topic and the study that is currently being conducted by the Department of City Development with assistance from Vandewald and Associates, a consulting firm that has done work with the department on other matters. So the purpose of this study is to create a plan for the use of park impact fees, just as this commission uses the comprehensive master plan to make decisions about land use in the city. There is also a comprehensive outdoor recreation plan that has made decisions and recommendations about where park amenities and recreation facilities should go in the city. That CORP, as we refer to it, also means that there is an impact fee assessed against all residential development in the city, and those funds have been accumulating over the course of about a decade now, and have been expended on something of an ad hoc basis based on the recommendations of the CORP. This plan, the goal of the plan is to produce a set of recommendations about how best to strategically allocate those funds, because it is not possible to spend them without a match. And so that match needs to be incorporated into future budgetary items. And so as opposed to doing it on an ad hoc basis and having to also identify the match somewhat on an ad hoc basis, the intent here is to, based on the amount of impact fees currently available and the recommendations of the CORP, prioritize what parkland should be acquired. So it is an amended scope to a previous project that was done with Vandewald and Associates, and the goal was to create a strategy report with those priorities, including areas of geographic focus and a map, and an estimate of those matching funds, and also some information about alternate methods to fund the match. For example, grant funds may be used for those kinds of things, and also to elicit additional public input. So input from the Parks Commission, this, the Plan Commission, and also the Common Council. So that first public input session within the scope of this parkland acquisition study was held at the Parks Commission at their March 8th meeting, and the recommendations and priorities that they identified are reflected in the council action sheet. This is a draft that will be forwarded to Common Council for their review as well, with the idea that, so this item is before you tonight to give you an opportunity to engage with the material for the first time, to review those maps, which reflect some information about the different types and scales of parks and their service areas. So this is an overlaid map. Our comprehensive outdoor recreation plan and the location of all City of Franklin parks, and also county facilities and their service areas. So in general, you can see that the southern half of the city is not served by City of Franklin parks to the same extent as the northern half. And then the southwestern corner is essentially only served by the Franklin Savannah. So this was their, they had conducted that public input session, and the recommendations are here with the goal of focusing on that southwest portion of the city. and potentially acquiring a large parcel sooner and then planning that over time, connecting existing trails, some general reiteration of interest in pickleball and a dog park, and then also a comment that we should explore the needs for a park department. So this is an opportunity for you to review these materials. I'm happy to make other materials available to you based on questions that you may have. But then Vanderwald and Associates will be joining us at a future meeting to actually update you on the status of the report itself. So, and Alderwoman Hanneman as lead staff is here as well to address any additional questions. So,
yeah. First of all, welcome, Alderwoman. Pleasure to have you here.
Thank you
for your involvement on this. I'm going to say that this project took a turn once they had their first meeting with me, and I changed the scope of it. Now I think this is a better scope. I'm not taking credit for the scope. I just changed the direction. For staff and Alderman Hanneman, I just want to express, is there a particular reason why we name the type of park, for example, neighborhood, mini, et cetera?
Those are specific scales of parks, so I don't remember them off the top of my head, but it's related to the acreage of the park.
Is this defined by the corp?
It's defined by the corp. Yep.
Okay. So you don't. Thank you.
Okay.
Because that makes almost no sense to me. We got a neighborhood park that's got 24 acres. I don't know how a neighborhood park is 24 acres, and a special park being 25, and a community park just being 41. And the park that's 24 acres is really closer to 90. Mm-hmm. Because there's a nature area next to it. So my request is that as you folks move forward, to remove those kind of nomenclatures that depict who would use them as opposed to the size of them. Making them large park, medium park, small park. Because the terminology community, neighborhood, special, tot lot, mini park implies ownership. That really should not be implied at all. These parks are all community parks, owned by the community, used by the community, not by a neighborhood. So that's the political statement for the evening. So what kind of input are you looking for from us tonight? Alderman Hanneman, what do you have to say? I haven't asked you to speak, so here you are.
That's all right. Am I on here?
Yep.
Thank you. And as you said, that the scope and direction of the project had changed from the initial contract, and not that that's a bad thing. I think it's going well. It's given us a little more focus. As I have been working with the Parks Commission, the primary goals being one, to identify what our future parks needs are. And the idea was to move away a little bit from what you would call in there a neighborhood park or a small park, because we're finding as some new subdivision developers are coming in, they're adding those amenities in, a la Aspen Woods has a playground with a trail and whatnot. So maybe that's not something that we as a city have to plan to spend our money on in the future, and that we can look at future developers on the southwest portion of the city to include those amenities. So the focus then moving towards the mid-range or mid-size and larger scale parks. So once we make those identifications, the goal is to be able to make a recommendation to say, Common Council, next year we think that you should purchase this type of property, and it's going to cost approximately this amount of money, and we can use X amount of impact fees, and please budget Y matching dollars. And the same thing then for year two and year three and year four, so that we can strategically spend the money and pay and use down those impact fees, so we're not holding them and coming at risk of a double jeopardy and having to refund those. So that's the main scope there, is at least acquiring the parkland and then planning for future development of that. So we're not saying, okay, let's go all of a sudden spend $1 million on one big park. We want to do this in a stepwise fashion, plan for it, at least acquire the property, and then we can develop it further as funds would allow down the years. The more recent discussion of this acquisition plan really began to center around the connectivity of our trails. And ideally, how could we make that work? We have the 116th Street Trail going down the far west side of the city. We have the Oakleaf Trail coming down through the city along the river that ends at Oakwood Road, or not Oakwood Road, currently ends at Ryan Road, with somewhat future plan to develop that all the way down to the county line. And then looking at ways at how we could connect from 116th Street, possibly through the Franklin Savannah along the Ryan Creek, and connect that over either above or south of Ryan Road, and then it could converge down to the county line. So the commission at this point is really feeling a strong desire to increase our trail space. And if any of us have used trails in the last couple of weeks with people getting out and about, they're quite crowded right now. We love our trails. We take great pride in them. We have wonderful natural resources. We want to be able to highlight those. The other concern we have is how what we do acquire, what kind of additional strain that's going to take on our Department of Public Works for maintenance. So we'd like to look at things such as the trails that are going to be a little bit more low maintenance. So I think those are some of the things that we can expect to see in terms of recommendations down the road. And so I think we're looking for a little bit of feedback from Plan Commission, you know, on your thoughts of that direction. You know, take the time to give a little bit of feedback on other amenities that you'd maybe like to see. You know, we've talked about everything from community garden space to a swimming pool, which always comes up, but I don't think it's going to be a realistic thing. But but as you mentioned too, we've had discussion about the dog park and how or where that fits in to the community and how we can make that work. So I hope that gives you an idea of the direction and the goals of what we're working on. And so I'm happy to take any feedback that you might have to our meeting on Monday night.
Mr. City Engineer.
Marion, I'd like to point out to you on this write-up, and for Alderman Wilhelm, the last recommendation was explore the need for a parks department. We do have a parks department. We just don't have a recreation department.
So. May I clarify that?
Yes.
Alderwoman Hannum is going to start spending money now.
Well, and as the mayor likes to say, I may be getting a little over my skis on this one. Putting the cart before the horse, as I might. It seems that there is a, I don't want, disparity, is it maybe the word, disconnect between our Parks and Recreation Department that is being run by the school district and our Parks Department, Parks Maintenance Department that is being run by the city.
Ownership versus usage.
Precisely. And maybe we've grown to a point in this city. I don't have the answer right now, but I'm just thinking ahead, thinking outside the box. We've maybe come to a point in the city where a separate Parks and Recreation Department needs to be created that isn't necessarily just germane to the school district or germane to the city, but I think there are models all across the United States that we could pick and choose some best practices and maybe begin to look at how that might benefit and help grow some of our community offerings.
So I want to illustrate that. And the city I used to work for, the gentleman who ran the Parks and Rec Department, if you call him the Parks Director, he got really offended. No, we're a Parks Recreation Department. And so it kind of sunk in my head that Parks Department is the facilities. And we,
yes.
Since I have a lot of guys that are really dedicated to taking care of those the best of our abilities and budgets, I think that we do have a good Parks Department. It's the Recreation Department that I want to amplify the fact that we've kind of given that to the school district, and you're not the first person I've heard saying we should really take that back because they're not meeting our needs. And whether they are, they aren't. I think that's the message we need to – it's the Recreation Department we really need to –
Or to that point, and they are meeting a number of needs in the community, but they use the park's facilities
sure.
for quite a bit and then don't necessarily contribute to the upkeep and expansion of those facilities. And so I think there is a lot of opportunity for more communication and creative ways that and for me, too, the ultimate goal is to make it easier somehow sure. on your staff. And I in no way sure. want to disparage yeah. our really hardworking DPW staff.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. But where I was going with that, so here in the past few weeks, actually this past week, I've given tours to consultants who are looking to do a new expansion of our DPW facility and relocating fire station number 2 to our DPW site because – It, just to give everybody a heads up, by doing that, they can basically save the operation of a full station. So they can cover the entire southern just from the DPW site with the fire department. And I think Adams, or Chief Remington, says that operation of a station for 1 year would pay for a brand new station. So it kind of makes sense to do that. But so what do we do with the old station? And so the thought is maybe that's where we keep our mowers and other kinds of things to help save storage at our DPW facility, but there's some office space there. Maybe that's where we could have the rec department. Mm-hmm. You know, it could be its own separate look, unless we maybe want to sell it and do maybe make some money, put it back on tax rolls. But if we don't, it would make a very nice parks and rec facility. So as you look at this kind of, it really didn't dawn to me until this past week, but maybe that's something we need to have more discussion, and maybe it's a dumb idea. Maybe we need to put it back on tax rolls. Maybe it is something that when we do vacate the fire department, maybe we do make that the Parks and Rec office. So
I'm going to do the commercial.
He's going to disagree with me, probably.
No, actually not. This is why we hire professional staff who are trained and have the mindset to think of these things. I would have never thought to use Station 2 as a Parks Department separate building for, and Chief Remington is vitally concerned with how to cover the southwest part of the city. Because if you think about where...
We're getting on the agenda topic.
No, it's...
Well, we're talking about use of a building for parks purposes. All right. At some point, we need to talk about
the parkland acquisition. Include the fire.
So let's talk about parks for a second. I do have a couple of things. I think this is probably just for reference, but these maps include parks that are not ours.
Yes.
Okay. So you get it. I knew that you knew that. I just had to say it out loud because that makes me feel better. One thing that we haven't followed through on is ice skating rinks, specifically one at Pleasant View that's set up to do that. That needs to happen because we don't have any winter activities here in the city other than walking down trails.
Or we could do it over here right behind the fire department, and then the fire department could just use their hose to fill it up.
You know what? We can have as many of those as we can do. And I'm not an ice skater, but I came from the Upper Peninsula where everybody skates, and so we need to do that.
With a hot chocolate truck.
What?
With a hot chocolate truck.
That's correct. You need a warming house. So, the other thing that we're lacking, every community is lacking, is recreation and exercise facilities for seniors. You know, you can tell that I'm an expert at exercise for seniors, right? See, Hogan didn't laugh. She, but anyway,
Jesse.
That's another thing. But you know, my main button is everybody in the city owns these parks. Everybody needs to use them, and we can't segregate them by the name. That's very important to me. So comments, questions?
That's fair.
Well, Alderman Dandrea.
Sherry, I know where you're going with this, and I know it's a uphill battle. You mentioned it briefly in regards to acquisition is one thing. It's maintaining it is the second thing, and the finances that go into it, because mm-hmm. the budgets are always very lean and balanced. Mm-hmm. So I know that Marianne mentioned we were probably doing this for a decade of collecting impact fees for parks. I think she's short a decade and mm-hmm. a half. we've been doing it for well over 25 years. Mm-hmm. So, Ed, I think most of the people in council know that we are always playing, we're up against the eight ball in regards to being able to find projects that are going to utilize the funds before we're going to have to be forced to possibly return funds. And so it's always critical, and we go through this in the council and have serious discussions on this year after year after year. Okay, so yes, we have to have a plan. We have even changed the impact fees percentages to lighten that potential problem. But it's still an existing problem, and it's going to be a future problem. Mm-hmm. Because we have so much money to need to spend, and our development is probably, 10, 15, 20, 25 years down the road. So we're not developing fast enough to be able to utilize land that we have to acquire. So I'm glad I'm not on that committee, because I know it's a very difficult committee to have to be on. And I thank you for your efforts
in
doing
that.
I do have one other thing when you talk about recreation departments, and I'm using the proper term here. The city of Franklin used to levy for the recreation department and then turn the money over to the city, to the school district. I think the city attorney and former Alderman Hogan was involved in some of those really painful conversations.
Yeah.
And they didn't necessarily revolve around programming. They revolved around, I live in the Hills Corner, in the Whitnall School District, and you have no programs for me, why am I paying for it? Mm-hmm. Oak Creek, same thing, and vice versa. You know, people in the Oak Creek district couldn't use the Oak Creek facilities either, programming either. So it gets to be it's a knotty problem, K-N-O-T-T-Y, mm-hmm. knotty problem to deal with, and there is a lot of history. So I would urge you to caution the committee on the path they go down to do the research prior to going down a path. But anybody else? So thank you.
Thank you.
You have any ongoing conversations and comments, please get them to Ms. X or Alderwoman Hannah. Anything else?
No, just to reiterate that this is your first look at this item, and then depending on the timing of this, your next look may be when the consultants Vandewald and Associates come to run the draft report past you. If possible, I will bring a subsequent iteration of it to you. It just depends on when the meetings fall. So.
Very good. Thank you very much. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. 5 ayes.
Good night.
Hey, good night.